So I was thinking before we read the verse from the Bhagavata, because it's the appearance there of Sita, Mother Sita Thakurani, to read a little bit from the Samadhi. There is a short description of Sri Sita Thakurani, who she is actually. Sri Sita Devi. Sita Thakurani lived in Shantipur as the eternal wife of Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu. She was always absorbed in Vatsalya Prema, parental love, for Sri Gaura Sundara. Just after Sri Chaitanya's appearance, Sita Thakurani came to Mayapur. She brought a basket full of dress, ornaments, silken children's clothes, jewel necklace, and tiger nails set in gold. To worship the golden baby, she also brought auspicious articles such as fresh grass, turmeric, kumkum, and sandalwood. The wonderful name Nimai was given to the Lord by Sita Thakurani. In Krishna Lila, Sita Thakurani is Yoga Maya, or also Purnamasi. At Krishna's birth ceremony, she gave many instructions about child care to Nanda and Yashoda. Similarly, in Gauralila, Sita Devi would often help Sachimata nurture baby Nimai. Sita Devi and Sachimata were of one mind. Their life and soul was Nimai. Because of Sita Devi's pure parental love, Sachimata often chose her as the first person to worship Nimai Pandit during any auspicious ceremony. Later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu often came to Shantipur to visit Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani. They would collect all the neighbors and hold an uproarious festival of Krishna Nama Lila Kirtan, extending late into the night. When Lord Chaitanya moved to Jagannath Puri, Advaita Prabhu and Sita Devi would regularly visit him. Sita would cook Mahaprabhu's favorite food and offer lunch to the Lord. Sita Devi loved Lord Chaitanya as a son, and he loved her as his mother. So that was a few words about Mother Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya. So the verse of today is verse 38 from the chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. Nama Oja Isitraya.
Nama Oja Isitraya.
Pataye Yagaritashe.
Pataye Yagaritashe.
Chiptidaya Cha Jivanam.
Chiptidaya Cha Jivanam.
Nama Sarvara Satmane.
Nama Sarvara Satmane.
Nama.
Nama.
I offer all obeisance unto you.
I offer all obeisance unto you.
Urje.
Urje.
Unto the provider of the Pitraloka.
Pitriloka.
Ishe. The provider of all the demigods. Traya, of the three Vedas, Pataye, unto the Master, Yagya, sacrifice, Retashe, unto the predominating deity of the moon planet, Triptidaya, unto him who gives satisfaction to everyone.
Cha also.
Jivanam. Of the living entities. Namaha. I offer my obeisances. Sarvarasa Atmane. Unto the all providing super soul. Translation. My Lord, you are the provider of the Pitrilokas as well as all the demigods. You are the predominating deity of the moon and the master of all the three Vedas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the original source of satisfaction for all living entities. Pupil. When the living entity is born with this material world, especially as a human being, he has several obligations unto the demigods, unto the saintly person, and unto living entities in general. As enjoined in the Shastras, the Varshi, Dutapta, Ninam, Pitrinam. Thus one has an obligation to one's forefather, the previous Yerashi. Lord Shiva prays to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so he can become free from all obligation to the Pitas, demigods, general living entities, and saintly person, and completely engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. As stated, Devashi Gutapta Ninam Pitinam Nakinkarunayam Rinicharajam Sarvatmanaya Saranam Saranyam Gatumukundam Pari Rityakartam. This is from Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Verse 41. One becomes free from all obligation to the demigods, saintly person, pitas, ancient forefather, etc., if one is completely engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Lord Shiva therefore prayed to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so that he can be free from such obligation and entirely engaged in the Lord's service. Soma, or the predominating deity of the moon, is responsible for the living entity's ability to relish the taste of food through the tongue. Lord Shiva prays to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so that he will not taste anything but the prasad of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a verse indicating that the tongue is the most formidable enemy among all the senses. If one can control the tongue, he can easily control the other senses. The tongue can be controlled only by eating prasad offered to the deity. Lord Shiva's prayer to Lord Aniruddha is meant for this purpose, Triptidaya. He prayed to Lord Aniruddha to help him, be satisfied by eating only prasad offered to the Lord. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshuru Militamena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Namu Prabhupada Priyadasaya Jagannath Yatanam Namu Tayi Bhakta Shikaya Krishna Kitanena Narasimhira Rakshitaya Namu Namaha. So, in the pure form actually, there is two main points. It's divided into two sections. And the first is about our duty that we have, especially, it is explained as a human being, we have an obligation toward many people, actually, when we take birth as a human being, especially to the demigod, to the saintly person, and actually to all living entities in general. So that's actually a very important point in Vedic culture, this fact that as soon as we take birth, immediately we have responsibility to one other person. It's not so well known in Western countries. Also, there is some understanding toward our parents, our grandfather, and so on. We have some kind of responsibility toward them, but in general, it's not so well known in our country how actually it's not that just because we take birth, we are free to do anything we want, and we don't own anything to anyone. No, as it is explained in the first part of this verse, we have many duty to many people, And it's very essential in the Vedic culture, this fact, and all action that we accomplish through our life, it's in relation to those duties that we have toward other person. We understand toward the deva, because we cannot take birth, we cannot function properly in our body if we the deva actually are not giving us their benediction. This is all only by the benediction of the deva that we can function in the material body. Actually, each part of our body is ruled by specific demigods, and even the most essential, the most simple thing that we do every day, like to breathe, to eat, to walk, anything we do, we have the tendency to forget that actually by ourselves we cannot do anything without the sanction of the demigods. And it's only by their mercy that we can accomplish our activity. And of course, the saintly person, that's of course it's specifically for person who are in the mode of goodness, who have a spiritual goal in their life. It's only by the so many times it's stressed in different prayer, how it's only by the mercy of the saintly person that we can actually make progress, we can have the right understanding of the purport of life. And it is even said, and unto the living entity in general, because it's not like we say we take birth and we do whatever we want and there's no consequence with the outside world. Actually, more and more, even in our society, people are more and more conscious that we are interdependent, all of us, with other living entity. And it's more and more, if you read the newspaper or the television, it's more and more a common, like people take conscious more and more that actually we cannot do anything without a consequence with other entity. And it's nice in one sense, and I guess it's due to the blessing of Prabhupada, that more and more the world is becoming aware of their duty toward the planet in general, that cannot pollute the world without very severe consequence. And people are more and more conscious. It's very nice. So actually, as it is said, unto any living entity, we have a responsibility. So we are very tied in one sense. When we take birth, especially, as it is said, in the human being, the animals, it's not so much responsibility. But as a human being, we are full of responsibility. And it's not a light statement in a sense that if we don't fulfill the duty we have to one other, to our forefather, a saintly person, all living entity, if we don't do it, we will have to suffer very severely. It's actually the fact that when we don't act properly and we don't satisfy all those different living entity, we actually do a lot of bad karma. So, it's a very serious matter, and as a devotee, of course, it is explained here, and even Lord Shiva prayed to Aniruddha to give him strength so he can become free from all obligation to the different Pitta, demigod, general living entity, and saintly person, and engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. So we have, in the same time, this understanding that although we are, I don't know the English verb, redevable, comment on dit redevable? On est redevable à quelqu'un?
Obligable.
Obliged, yeah. We are obliged to so many people, actually, so many living entity. There is this understanding that if we fully engage in devotional service, immediately we become free from all those responsibilities. So it's a very essential understanding, but we should understand it properly. What does it mean, in fact? Because there has been many abuse of this statement, that if we engage in devotional service, we become free of all our responsibility toward all the other living entity, whoever they are. And there have been a lot of abuse, in a sense that many persons took advantage of this statement to not and use it as not in order not to fulfill their duty. They don't care anymore. Family life, or they don't care, they don't listen, the saintly person, or the demigod, we don't even speak about it, and they do whatever they want, saying that they are spiritually engaged, so they don't have to fulfill any duties. And if you go in India, you have many actually such kind of person with such a mentality, which is very dangerous in a sense, because as it is said, if you don't fulfill those duties that you get when you take birth as a human being, you get a lot of reaction, bad reaction. And if you don't do it, on top of it, with the excuse that you are engaged in spiritual life, but it's just an excuse, it's even worse. There's nothing more worse than that to pretend, to be a pretender. Better to be an honest, materialistic person and engage in ordinary mundane activity than to be a so-called spiritualist who actually, in the name of religion, perform all kind of wrong activity, illicit activity, and doesn't fulfill any of his duties. So we have to be careful. What does it mean? Lord Shiva, he prayed to Aniruddha to give him the strength to be free from all those obligations and be engaged himself in the devotional service of the Lord. It doesn't mean that just we are superficially perform devotional service. In order to be free from all those obligations, we have to be actually very seriously engaged in devotional service and following all the rules and regulation of devotional service, specifically for us, of sadhana bhakti. We have to be very serious. Otherwise, if we are not and we don't do our duties as ordinary human beings, we will incur a reaction. We should understand that. That's a very important point. But this is a fact also, and this is difficult to understand and to accept for an ordinary materialistic person, that it's a fact that for a devotee who is fully engaged in devotional service, he's free from all duty toward the ordinary duty of a living of a human beings, and that's difficult to understand. Sometimes people judge a saintly person or devotee and say, "Oh, look at them! He's not doing anything for the society. He forget the family. Poor parents. They just suffer because he don't neglect them." And so on, like this, and they think, because they cannot understand that a devotee is not acting on the same level than an ordinary person. The consciousness is completely different. Although the devotee seems to act in the same way than anyone else in this world, actually the difference is very difficult to understand, but there's a big difference, especially the consciousness. It's completely different in the sense that the devotee, he acts only for the pleasure of Krishna. His only duty is to please Krishna. And because of that, he is free from all other duties. So there is these two aspects of this point of duties. Life is full of duties. Either you fulfill your duties as a devotee by serving Krishna, and if you don't do, you have to serve so many other things. Even unconsciously, actually, people act out of duty, even if they are not conscious. They think that many times that it's just they do what they want, but this duty is very essential, and either in material world or the spiritual world, the living entity is a servant, and as a servant he has to fulfill his duty. And if we don't fulfill on a spiritual level by serving Krishna, we will have to serve the material energy consciously or unconsciously. So that's one point, that's one, the first part of the purport by Prabhupada, this makes this point about the duties of a living entity, specifically the human being. And the second point, it's related, if you remember the translation, the purport, it's related to the prasad and tongues. Can read a little that you remember. Yes, Soma, the predominating deity of the moon, is responsible for the living entity's ability to relish the taste of food through the tongue. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a verse indicating that the tongue is the most formidable enemy among all the senses. Some one of you know which verse is it? Salila, Vijaja, Chodendila Taikar, Jive Fele Visayu Sangare, Tamaji Divinity. And this song, he explained how the material body is full of ignorance. And the senses, they are very strong enemies, our enemies, because they throw us into the material world, into material consciousness. And it's very difficult to control the tongue. And the song go on by saying how Krishna is very merciful, and in order to control the tongue, he had given us prasadam, that means food which has been offered to the deity, in order to control. And Prabhupada say how if one can control the tongue, he can easily control the other senses. So this is essential, actually, in spiritual life, this control of the tongue. Because if we control the tongue, we can actually control the other senses. And Prabhupada explained how the only way to control the tongue is by taking prasada, really. And there's many spiritualists who have different way to trying to control the tongue, because they understand how it's a very essential factor of spiritual life. If we control the tongue, this other sense become also controlled. And they have so many ways, like we know the mona, they don't speak. People, some, like if you go in a Buddhist community, sometimes they have period of the year, they don't speak. They stay in a cave and for a few months or a few weeks at least, they don't speak one word. That's one way to control the tongue. And there's different way. And we also have, as we know, it is explained here, with the devotee, it's quite a very merciful aspect of of God, He gives us this prasadam by which we can control the tongue. But of course we have to respect prasadam. Like we use this word respect. We just not eat prasadam or respect. That means the act of eating prasadam should be done with a proper consciousness. That's very important, because the very same prasadam we can help us to control our tongue, we can actually become fallen by not respecting properly prasadam. And Prabhupada in other places mentioned how like sannyasi should not eat too much delicate maha-prasadam, like really relishable food, because it can actually it can be a cause of fallen in spiritual life. And we know if we eat too much, and specifically too much things which are very good, and we can actually develop a very mundane consciousness because of that. And as we know, it is all in one line. You have the tongue, and then you have the belly, and then you have the genital. So if you don't respect, if you don't control the tongue, you will overeat. And if you overeat, your belly is full, and you become disturbed. That's a natural thing. It's very, actually, natural that we become disturbed if we don't control the tongue. One day, one devotee, he approached Prabhupada, and he said, "Prabhupada, I have really difficulty to control my tongue when I eat food." And Prabhupada just smiled and he said, "Yes, I have a tongue too." The devotee was expecting that Prabhupada would give him some, but Prabhupada just make him understand that as anybody in this material world, it's very difficult to control the tongue. It's very difficult in sense. So there is this prasadam which is essential, and we should understand it's very unique in Vaishnava society, because you can actually control the tongue by doing the most nice activity, eating. It's so everyone like to eat, especially when you are hungry. I mean, what is more nice than to eat some food? And by this very same activity, we can actually control our tongue if we do it properly. And on the contrary, if we don't respect prasadam on a daily basis, what to speak if we don't offer our food, there is a lot of chance we become degraded. In a society, I was looking a few months ago, a reportage. There's a new fashion in society, just recent, the last few months. The people, they start to make like a lollipop, some company, and inside the lollipop, they put some insect, sometimes like ant or a scorpion, and they relish a lot to eat like this. And they say it's actually very good for health because it's full of nutritious fat in this in the insect, you know. And they just do like, they say that actually the people in like in South America, in the jungle, they eat that. So actually it's very good. So it's a new fashion for the so-called modern people in the society to eat. And people can eat. If you don't eat prasadam, actually the nature of the tongue, just like the mind, is to always have something new. So, and there's no end to trying to find a new taste. And the tendency, because we are in the material world, is to find tastes which are more and more degraded. And you have an example in the society of people, they can eat really anything, alive living entity. I mean, when you think about, comment on dit les moules, les, pas les moules, les huîtres.
Oysters.
Yeah. It's a living entity, alive, you know, it's terrible. And the religious people, they think it's the most refined food you can have with champagne to eat this. But when you think about it, the poor animal is alive, is eaten alive by so-called educated person. So, and the sense become more and more degraded. So you can, if you think what you are doing actually by, in this case, eating alive entity, I mean, can you imagine what kind of reaction you will have to end, suffer for that? And it's a fact that if we don't respect Prachada, and there is any every chance that we become very, very quickly more and more degraded. It's the most fast way to hell, not to respect Prachada. So Prachada is very important, as it is prayed by Lord Shiva, that he prayed to Lord Anilona is mean to help him satisfy by eating only prasada. So that's one way. And of course we have the other way, because also the tendency of the tongue is to speak. It's very difficult to stop to speak, like I just said about this spiritualist, like the, for example, the Buddhists, they practice this vow of silence. They don't speak, but you can ask them. I went one time to Hui, no? They have the Buddhists there, the monastery in Hui. And one of the monks, he was doing, was from Tibet, and we were speaking about this aspect of not speaking for many months, actually. He was doing for 2 or 3 months. And he said it's very difficult. After some time, you can really start to become mad, you know, because your mind really wants to speak. And, so it's very difficult. So the other blessing of Krishna consciousness, aside from prasada, is, of course, Krishna Lila. And it's so wonderful that actually, just as a mundane person, it takes great pleasure to speak about mundane things, about so many things. In the same way, we can be as much talkative, but the only difference, we speak about Krishna, we speak about the devotee, we speak about devotional service. And in the same way that when we take prasadam, we become more and more pure. When we speak about Krishna, about devotional service, about great devotees, we also become more and more happy, more and more satisfied. So that's very, in one sense, to finalize this aspect of Krishna consciousness, that's very wonderful, this practice of devotional service, because it's very natural. I mean, many parts of a spiritual development, it's quite austere, you know? Like we have the yogi, or the yogi have to do so many exercises, control the mind, and similarly the jnani, the speculator, it's so dry, you know, to always trying to see what's the material and what's the spiritual. It's very austere and dry. But Krishna consciousness, it's actually so wonderful, because by a very natural way, which is eating and speaking, which everyone likes to do, we can advance in devotional service. So that's the wonder of Krishna consciousness. And we should never neglect those activities, and of course never neglect the importance of prasada. Maybe someone want to say something about prasada, or about what we said today.
I was wondering about the protection and obligations we have. So on the one hand, if we take the gaze of ocean shores, we don't have those obligations anymore.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, environmental needs, it's also described for you to protect your own cars. So how to make this work?
Well, it's part, like many things, although we are not obliged anymore by those duties that an ordinary person has to perform, we still do it in Krishna consciousness for different reasons. One reason is for predication. Just like I remember, especially when I joined many years ago, there was a quite abuse of like those statements that we don't have any more duties when we become a devotee, and many devotees, they just don't care anymore at all about their parents, about anything, and the reaction that we get a very bad publicity, the parents become extremely frustrated. So it's not very nice even for the movement of Srila Prabhupada. So I remember when I was a young brahmachari that one instruction I received from my spiritual master is that every, at least once a month, I have to write to my mother and father. I remember this instruction because it's a very often when we start spiritual life in general, we have the tendency to be extreme because we have been so much involved in material activity. When we start spiritual, we have the tendency to be a little fanatical in the other way, and we don't have, it's neither good. So it's also part of devotional service, some duties like toward the parents, what to speak of toward the woman. There have been also many abuse in our movement and in other religion, because in the name of religion, like also women have not been respected properly. But it's not good also like for preaching, but also even for I would say ourselves, it's not good because many times this is an artificial way of acting of understanding Krishna consciousness. If you read actually Krishna book, although they are all liberated person, those person in the Krishna book, like the family of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, all the different cover boy and the gopi, they are just the most elevated devotee we can imagine. But in the same time, if you read the Krishna book, you can see that they are so much involved in fulfilling their so-called ordinary duties. I mean, practically they do only that, you know, to fulfill their duties as a human beings. So it's very important, and it should not be wrongly understood that becoming a devotee means that I don't care for anyone else. No, we care, but in the same time we understand that it's if sometime, for example, a devotee seems not to act properly, but in the same time is fully involved, engaged in devotional service, he will not suffer in the same way, because sometimes we have two choices, you know. Many times it's go together. If, like I just mentioned, the Krishna book, you can read the story of Krishna. Many times it's go together that the different those devotees, they are in the same time pleasing Krishna, serving him, full of love, and in the same time they do their duty. There's no really friction. You can do both, but sometimes we have two choices. Just like in the case, I mean, it's not maybe the best case to choice to say, but you have the case of the gopi when they hear the flute of Krishna in the night. They just run. And you forget everything that is mentioned, that the one who have the baby, they just put the baby, and the one who was cooking for the husband, they just forget, they run, and some gopi, the cover boy, the husband, they try to stop, and it was the whole thing. So in this case, it's special because it's just, they just act on really the most pure level of love of God we can't even understand, but still it gives us an idea when you have the choice, when you are obliged to make a decision between Krishna consciousness and ordinary duty, a devotee will choose, even if he knows he will be criticized, like the gopi, they were actually criticized by maybe the covered boy, they say, well, how you can do that, you cannot go in the forest in the middle of the night, you're a young girl and you have your baby to take care, and they were criticized, and normally, I mean, in the West, in our Western society, we don't, it's not so serious, you know, if you go to the discotheque one night, who cares, you know, the parents say, hey, go enjoy it. But in Indian society, specifically at this time, you know, to do something like this, it's the most horrible. And the it's not that the gopi were foolish, they were not conscious that they're doing something very, very serious, but still they chose go, because they could not actually stop themselves to go and serve Krishna, to answer to his paying the fruit. So I would say, in most of the time, we can do both. I mean, many times we think, oh, we use this instruction as an excuse not to fulfill our duty. You know, oh, but I'm a devotee, don't care for my mother. I didn't write to her for the last 20 years, but it's okay, I'm a devotee. It's not so nice. No, it's an excuse because we are lazy and we have some trouble with the family, so because of that. But actually, in most cases, we can do both. But sometimes we should understand that we have to make a choice, and even if we get criticized, it's not the most important. Okay, we stop? Tá, Shrimad Bhagavatam ki.